Ladies and gentlemen,
Blog Talk Radio.
I did that thing last time. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to get a hang of this.
Yeah.
This is another episode of the show, The Absolute Truth, with your host, with the most, the Hot Rod, with
Sean Black. Jesus, you need to learn how to use this better.
Listen, I guarantee within a month I will learn how to use this format of this show.
If they don't cancel us by then.
And I have
Anitra
B. All right, ready to get the show on the road? All right, but first I want to give our condolences to a family in Brooklyn, New York. A couple of days ago, there was a huge fire, and 7 kids got killed in the fire. So check to see if you have smoke detectors and make sure the batteries are working, because smoke detectors can save a life.
And don't leave your hot plate on.
Please
yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah.
If you even still have a hot plate, you know.
That is it's sad.
Yes.
That man is going to come home with only one child that's wife.
If they survive.
And if his wife and daughter that are left survive, because they're in the hospital still fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't even come back.
Yeah. One day you have your entire family. Next day, almost everybody's dead. I mean, I really don't know what to say about that.
That's why you only got one life to live. Live it to the fullest.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why Anitra B and the Hot Rod's having some special cranberry juice right now.
Oh,
all right, talk about special. There's been some controversy been going on forever and ever. Sean, what's your nationality?
I'm African American.
Anitra?
Italian Polish.
And I'm Haitian American.
Okay.
Yes, right. Oh, my name doesn't matter right now, but I'm Haitian American.
Okay.
But we've been using this word that I cannot stand personally, but we hear it all the time, is the use of the N-word. Is it okay for people, especially white people, to use the N-word? Because you're hearing rap songs all the time, and you hear people in the streets talking about using the N-word. The Puerto Ricans, even Chinese people using the N-word.
Which I find absolutely hilarious listening to them when they're trying to speak it, and they just botch the word.
I don't think it's appropriate for anybody. I don't. It doesn't. Regardless of your race, your nationality, it's not appropriate. Speak English.
Speak English, yes, but
proper English.
Well, if you're from the hood, that is not proper English.
It's
whether you're white, black, Chinese, Puerto Rican, that is not proper English.
No, it's inappropriate. I don't care what you are. It's inappropriate.
You say that, but for example, the school a few weeks ago was singing a song about hanging the N-word from a tree. So that's part of the song that was probably made 200 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's part of the song. So is there racism in that?
Yeah. That's to reference what you just said. That's Oklahoma University. They had Sigma Alpha Epsilon, which is one of the oldest of the fraternities or sororities on the campus. And they have so many millions and millions of chapters that go along with that. With the racist song that they were singing, I guess it was captured on somebody's cell phone. They were, I don't even remember the full chant, but there was N-word this, we'll never have an N-word be our chapter and that kind of stuff. Basically, the problem is that how pervasive is racism when you go to college campuses? Different chapters, they have their own things going on with chapters and pledges, and a lot of them are almost like cults, if you think about it, because they're segregated from the rest of the population. They have their own laws, they have their own bylaws, their own president, that kind of thing. At what point do you figure that racism is going to not be as heavily looked at in certain aspects of college, especially when you go away to college? It's not the same way. Let's say you go to a community college, or you go to a college in your neighborhood or in your area. There's a comfort factor involved.
Depending on where you go.
Yeah, depending on where you go. And then let's say you're from Brooklyn, New York. You go to college in North Carolina, or you go to somewhere in Kentucky or someplace in the South near the Bible Belt where racism is still very much existent. And you go into one of these sororities or fraternity, and you hear all the racial epithets that you're going to hear all the time, and that's normal.
But Papa down there in the South.
And don't go there.
Yeah.
simple.
But there's a lot of black people in the South.
Exactly, but they're used to, like, everyone's used to their own environment.
Yes.
So if you yourself cannot handle it, you know you can't, and don't.
Makes sense.
It's simple.
No, it's not that simple, because let's say you get a scholarship down there, and, you know, you have no money, but they offer you a scholarship, so what are you going to do? Take the scholarship.
You suck it up, and you deal with it.
But
You're in someone else's environment.
Mm.
You didn't grow up around it.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the research.
Yes.
You figure it out. And
but why get upset if you're singing a song from the lyrics that have the N-word? So you see the white people singing it. Oh, my gosh. Sean, John, and Rodney, all three races, singing a song and hanging an N-word from the tree. Well, you're singing a song, Jay-Z, Kanye West, N-word in Paris.
Yeah.
Is there a big difference?
And that's part of the problem is there seems to be a hypocrisy when it comes to the word, whether there is use for the word with the ER at the end as opposed to the word with an A or an AZ at the end. The same garbage, you know.
But the kids don't see it that way because they're trying to separate the two,
and
between the ER and the A.
Yeah.
But using an A word, you're my brother, my sister.
It's supposed to show solidarity.
My,
it's supposed to show to me. It's the stupidest concept I think I've ever heard. It doesn't make any sense. And the problem with that is that young, impressionable youth, irregardless of what race, you learn things around you through environment, through exchanges with other people, friends, teachers, idiots, drunkards, bums, whoever you meet, you're going to learn things from.
Yeah.
You take certain things with you as you get older and apply them to your own life. So as you get older, if you're in a neighborhood where they didn't like Chinese Americans, so you kind of are ingrained in that thought process. And if your mind isn't straight or clear enough, that becomes part of who you are. Your prejudice is based on what you learn. And then you take that with you wherever you go. So for a lot of people, that's normal. What's not normal to a lot of people is, like you've been hearing with the N-word, and if you've grown up around people that are, let's say that they're used to hearing the Brady Bunch style of language, everything is so peachy keen, there's no problem.
That's
here.
A 1960s.
It's a 1960s ideal, but there are a lot of people still in this country that think that way, going outside the college, the world is the same way, and then you get hit with that culture shock, and then it's like, whoa. I just went to this rally and I didn't realize that there were people with white sheets on their head and still talking about the Klan. Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of things are still out there. There's a whole world that a lot of people still don't understand.
The word
still
is hurtful.
Very.
Okay,
very
so.
Hurtful.
Someone looks at you and calls you an N lover.
Yeah.
It's hurtful.
Yeah.
And it's sad and it's pathetic that people
yes.
still even. You sound stupid.
Yeah. It's still it's still probably the single most divisive, poisonous word in the American English
stupid.
Language.
Because this generation bring that word to a different meaning to it now.
Yeah.
So if Anitra, B over here, call you the N-word, does that make her a racist? Would that make you angry?
If
she just say, hey, what's up, my N? And you look at her like, okay.
Well,
compared to me, hey, what's up, my N?
Well, the first thing is...
And we're all friends over here. We all know each other.
Yeah.
You know,
but if it's somebody,
different.
First of all, if you don't, even if you don't know somebody, if they're throwing the N word, they're flashing the N word at you. I tell them, look, I'm no one's N word.
Okay.
We all growing up have used that word at some point in our youth.
Of course,
I stopped using that word a long time ago, just based on the fact, like you said, it's inappropriate, it's stupid, especially when you get older and you realize the meaning. And the sad part about it is, like you said, not a child anymore. There are a lot of kids that are using that word. I have been on the bus or I've been on a train, and I've heard kids that are like 8, 9 years old using the word around their friends, which is absolutely ridiculous.
What?
And they have no concept of what the word actually means, where it came from, the etymology of the word. And then when you grow up and that's all you're used to saying all the time, it's normal. And then you go out into the work world, or you're trying to get a job, or you go out in the public and you start using that word and then wonder why you're being shunned. Then you have to find out the definition, where it comes from. And then you just kind of evolve and hope you don't use the word anymore.
So you're trying to say that the music artists today, because they use the N-word all the time. They use it to sell records, of course.
Yeah.
And can you blame the artist of using the word nonstop?
I can, in the fact that it's something that is not necessary to sell a record. It's basically
the word
has basically become colloquial slang now. It's almost like saying ain't. Or, you know, instead of saying isn't, you're saying ain't. It's the same kind of way. It comes right off the tongue, like a lot of people use regular language. So it's something that can be curtailed. If you recognize that you're using the word a lot and try to be more mindful of when and where you use it, it's something that you can weed out of your vernacular if you try, especially if you know what the word means and how divisive the purpose of that word actually is.
Yeah, but I understand. But I think the Lil Wayne, the Jay-Z, the Drake, they all know the concept.
Yeah.
But once again, you do what sells.
Yeah.
That's your job. You have to make money from it.
I don't even think it has anything to do with sales. I just think it's part of who they are. You know, as you're growing, if you're growing up in a particular region and that's all you say, that's part of your vernacular. You
people
don't
relate.
Yeah.
They make music that the population relates to.
Okay.
If you go to any, say you go to a schoolyard.
Yeah.
The language you'll hear is my and then this and
yes.
this one and that's what you're going to hear. So when they hear the music, they can relate to it. So what these artists are going to continue.
So it's marketing. You're marketing the N-word.
They
then.
Did it when
yeah.
we were teenagers.
Yeah. Hmm. Exactly.
They did it when we were teenagers.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Perfect example.
100% yes.
LL Cool J, who everybody in the media loves. You look at he's close to 50 years old.
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with LL Cool J.
LL Cool J has been around in the hip-hop world since he was about 15, 16 years old.
What, late 80s?
We're talking like mid to late 80s. Before he became the successful actor, we all know he was a hip-hop artist and a rap artist, and he used the N-word on a regular basis. But it's perfectly fine now that he has been accepted by America mainstream media.
Because he grew up.
He matured. His brand is different. He doesn't do as many of those hardcore movies that he used to do. He used to do a lot of R-rated movies where he would use the vernacular he's used to because he's from Queens.
Yeah.
So you're going to use whatever language you're used to. He used to put it in his music. He used to talk it in a lot of the movies.
Darling, he's every other woman's fantasy.
Yeah.
Every chick on this planet is going to buy anything that man makes.
Okay, keep your hormones to yourself.
And
you know.
Yeah.
LL Cool J is smart.
Yes.
It's a sex appeal. He knows women will be like, honey, I want it.
But at the same time, knowing
get out. Get out. She's sweating right now talking about LL Cool J.
As a matter of fact, let me get the tissue right now.
You know, I look better than LL.
Yeah, and the thing is that he knows what is going to help his brand sell. So as he has evolved himself and his brand, he's gotten away from that harder, rougher style of image, and now he's ingrained himself in Hollywood. There's a lot of things on CSI Los Angeles. He's been doing that for about 5 years.
Honestly, ultimately, I don't think the N-word is going to lose. What I do think, though, is we continue to educate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the young learn that speaking proper will get you the job, will get you this, will get you that. It will, kids it phase out.
Yeah.
But it won't be as tough.
Yeah. And it's also harder to try to, it's harder. If you are a Caucasian American and you hear that word, a lot of times it's almost of the sense that it's like a double standard because you hear black people saying it to each other. And then if a white person says it to a black person, they're looked at as racist. Even if there's no racial meaning behind the statement, it's just the blanket word itself is what's construed as racist.
No, it's true.
And then you have that standard like, well, what can I say? Is it okay for me to say something, something, something? I have a lot of white friends.
You have white friends?
Yes, I have a lot of white friends.
You do?
I have a lot of black friends. And a lot of people are like, look, what do I say? If it's okay for two black men or two black women to talk to each other and say that, then what's the problem? How is that the case where if there's a white person and a black person and the white person says that N-word, then what happens there? Is it construed as somebody being racist? Is somebody just trying to fit in? What's the issue? And that's the hard part.
Someone trying to fit in. I don't think it's, at the end of the day, I really don't think it's racist. I think it's ignorance.
Mm.
It's stupid. You sound stupid.
Mm.
That's really what it is.
Have you ever used the N-word, Anitra?
You've known me for a couple of years.
Hold on, let me put you guys on mute so she could curse me out.
Have I ever used the N-word?
No, you haven't.
And I won't. Because
we don't know you for like 2 days, so we don't know
really?
You like that.
Really? And I won't because I don't feel it's appropriate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want, no, it's not a problem. I don't speak slang. You hear my speech?
Yes.
So
37 years old. I'm 17.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. On to another topic. Thank you so much. No, this is like a little bit of relation to the hood.
Mm.
On March 9th, for some of you guys that's out of state, there was a big brawl in a McDonald's in Brooklyn on March 9th between a girl and about maybe 6-7 girls that jump her. It was a conflict.
Was it just female?
It was only
female.
All female, 6 or 7 females. And one of the girls confronted the gang leader, quote unquote, and it was a big fight that happened, a big brawl. There was like maybe 50 kids inside the McDonald's, and while this girl was getting jumped, people had their phones out recording the incident, and she got her ass kicked hard. Is there a problem with this generation today that people won't help you out no more, that they rather take their phone and recall you, your ass getting beaten? So she almost died from this incident.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
I don't think they jumped her. My personal opinion, it was a beat-in.
No, she confronted the leader at the McDonald's.
I think it was an argument about something that happened earlier in the day, I think.
The argument happened back to January.
Okay.
Facebook, social media, because social media now, everybody likes to talk crap. On social media.
Oh,
I cannot, if I have a conflict with Sean Black or Anitra, I cannot tell you in person no more.
Yeah.
I have to let the whole world know about it first.
I can't stand that.
Well, this is the reason, one of the reasons why I'm glad I don't have Facebook or Twitter. I don't have to deal with that kind of nonsense.
That's surprising that you're not on social media.
Yeah, considering. I got a lot of cord in my head and I don't.
Exactly. That's a little surprising.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with these kids today?
I'm not surprised, because that's what
happened.
You
sound like my grandmother. What's wrong with these kids today?
It's true. I'm sorry. Back then, when we had a conflict, if I had a conflict with Sean, I'd fight with you one-on-one.
That's
or
the way it used to be.
Yeah. You know what? If you kick my butt, you kick my butt,
yeah.
I'll go home and cry.
Yeah.
Party done.
If I got an issue with you, 3 o'clock, we're going to get it on in the back of the school. Everybody will watch. If I get my head cracked,
So be it.
That's it.
But she got her ass kicked by 6 girls.
I do think it's pathetic that the employees of that McDonald's didn't do anything.
And the sad part is
sad. There's security. There's
a
security guard. Every time I step into a McDonald's, there's a security guard.
Yes.
But once again,
there's a manager. There's
no.
Cashier,
but once again, you're one person against about 30 or 50 kids.
911.
And here's the sadder part is the fact that the way that they reacted is something that this is normal.
You're telling me there's not 6 guys back there that couldn't
one
pull
of those
these
people,
girls apart?
One of the people that was recording this video could have called 911.
True.
But his or her office.
We all from the hood. What's one of the rules? You don't get involved, right?
Involve my ass.
And
I pay taxes. 911.
Yeah, but I'm talking about kid wise. I'm not talking about us adults.
See, here's the thought process, and I'll give you this.
I grew up in the hood.
911. But you don't want to be the snitch.
That's my ass. This girl could have been killed.
I understand, but you're talking from an adult point of view. I'm talking about if you
as a child,
you wouldn't have called.
Yes, I would.
You wouldn't have called 911.
I would have went to a payphone or grabbed a cop. Because this kid
that's something that doesn't
payphone.
Wow,
payphone. But that was back then.
Yes.
But
if you was a snitch, you would have got a jump. So these kids were probably scared to be a snitch.
And that's part of the culture that we live in.
What about all the adults that were there?
The adults?
Those don't care. They don't care.
The adults are just happy that nobody brought any of that drama to them.
I get it.
The kids.
I get it.
They deserve it. No matter, they're kids. They deserve it.
The kids.
You're telling me six guys that work behind that counter couldn't come out and break that up?
Of course they could.
Of course. But guess what? If that's not my people that I know, why should I get involved?
This is, this is the thought process.
We're supposed to be like, okay, we're the adults.
And even more so, you would think basically any of the people working there would have fought, if nothing else, the liability of one of these kids getting killed on their property and their business establishment. That would have been the one impetus to get something going. But they didn't. And then it's sad. And then it goes on camera. It's, and then the first thing anybody does nowadays is everything is world star hip hop.
World star!
It has nothing to do with hip hop anymore. It's just a bunch of people uploading violent videos and sex now.
I don't even watch it. The only time I see it is when this one over here sends me a link. Other than that, I never went on the website.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But she sends me these ridiculous links.
It's full of videos similar to that and even worse than that. But the crazy part about it is, if you are of, and this is just something that's, I think, inherent to the African-American community also.
Oh, here we go. The race card.
The race card, which probably goes hand in hand with that N-word conversation we had.
Oh, man.
It's kind of like that whole snitches get stitches nonsense.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nobody wants to open their mouths and say anything because they are afraid of retribution coming to them.
That's what I'm telling
you.
Did
you open your mouth?
Yeah.
Did you see something? Oh, you didn't see anything, did you?
What,
see anything, did you?
You don't see no evil, you hear no evil, you see no evil.
I guess that's from teenagers. What about the hundreds of adults that were there that day?
If it's not my daughter, it's not my son, why should I care?
Yes.
They probably put themselves in that situation.
I have seen a fight in front of me.
She could have been killed.
I don't agree with that. I have seen a fight where two kids beating each other senseless, tons of adults, people are hanging out and everything.
Showing their cell phones and sex.
A couple of cell phones. One person thought about breaking the fight up, ran to it, and then he got stopped. They pushed him back. And then they just took the fight. Nobody wanted to say anything. Cops came. They broke the fight up, and they're just asking people, did you see? People turn around.
Nope.
People started pulling their cell phones. I started talking on the phone. People started walking across the street. So,
but 10 seconds later, they post the same fight on social media.
On Facebook or on YouTube or something like that. So these kinds of things happen on a regular basis, and it's not just in one instance. It's all, if you go on YouTube, there are probably 15,000 fight videos.
A week, easily.
There was one video that I remember seeing the last time I actually looked one up. There was a girl who was beaten up in her own house. This is a classmate that came to her house. I heard you said something. You were talking nonsense about me and my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. And she came with a friend. The friend was there to document everything. And she snatched her right out off the front lawn and started pounding on her, threw her in her house, and started beating her up.
That's sad.
And it's all caught on camera. And all you can hear is, world star, ha, ha. And I'm like,
because
are you kidding me?
When you post videos like that, everybody wants to be famous. Everybody's like a journalist.
Yeah.
That was someone told me. The point of social media, everybody's a journalist now. So instead of interfering with the fight and getting your ass kicked by the same group,
they don't want to be part of the story. They want to
report the story.
And that's the problem.
Coin.
Yes. Because they think it's going to lead to them getting paid. And that's not the case.
But here's my problem with this story overall. There was another incident at St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
That not a lot of people know about it. So just going back to the race card a little bit. St. Patrick's Day is a day a lot of people go out.
National Drinking Day. That's what I call St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it's a day of drinking. No, it's common sense. And there was a video posted of a bunch of guys, not the same type of riot as the McDonald's, but similar.
No, this was worse. They were in the street in public where kids could have been
fighting.
Yes.
It was like a battle royal.
Yes.
But you didn't hear too much newsfeed about it.
Of course.
You didn't hear too much. It did not come up to the front page of the Daily News or New York Post because, of course, people want to say it's a white thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, a bunch of white people getting drunk is okay.
Yes.
It's normal. But to McDonald's, a bunch of black girls being a crap.
They're heathens.
They're savages.
They're savages.
I never get the cover of the New York Post or the Daily News. Savages.
Yes.
But Anitra, right in front of you, a bunch of guys having a fight in the middle of the season, you don't hear too much about it. Why is that?
The fact, it's sad.
No, no, it's sad because the media is portraying the black people as savages.
No, they're not. No, they're just, I honestly don't see it that way. When I look at this, I don't. It's the same thing. Like
it's the same thing, but which one got more acknowledgement? Which one got more talk about?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like if you look at any bottle commercial, okay, you see a dude holding a bottle. There's the text. You see a chick in something skimpy. She's got a fat ass and a big chest. What chat are you gonna look at?
Good point.
It's the same.
I'm talking about the big chest. I'm sorry.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But it's the same thing. I don't think it has. I honestly don't think it has anything to do with being racist. I just think it's what.
At
the end of the day, it's what sells.
True.
And
but
honestly,
a lot of people see it as a racist thing.
Well, that's
because it's
that's
common.
How they're gonna interpret it. I don't think it's racist. I honestly think it's like they say. In the media, sex sells.
Yeah.
So
okay. So
in very little. I think it's the same thing when it comes to something like this.
So you're saying right now that
it's more controversial. Controversial.
So a bunch of black kids finding each other is more
and
sell
where
paper.
And nobody stepped in, not one adult.
No one stepping. No one stepping into this fight.
A bunch of adults fighting.
Okay, so no one called 911. They were doing the same
thing.
They were recording it.
When teenagers. Are in
black teenagers. Say it.
It's
say
fact.
It.
It's a fact.
Yeah, and
it's
say
that's
it.
The
I'm
truth.
Sorry.
That's
it's
the, yeah.
Fact.
Okay.
It sucks.
The problem.
But it's a fact. It's,
yeah.
It's self.
Yeah, and the problem is that general portrayal is the reason why there's so many issues in the community because it's looked at, what is even if it is inadvertent or not.
But the reason why it sucks is because people will be like, oh my God.
Yes. Anything.
If people wouldn't do that, then the media wouldn't. Be
the way
it is. Yeah, yeah. So Amir like to portray black young black youth today.
The race card has been played millions of times.
It's been going on for years,
that's,
of course.
That's nothing new. The issue is, what are they going to do to change the perception? That's the problem.
When people stop buying it is when it changes.
Yeah. And this is the reason why so many newspapers have gone. And for those that don't know what a newspaper is, it's like a recorded blog on paper about yesterday's news. That's pretty much what a blog is.
You could go online for that, okay?
And that's the problem. See, you have a lot of newspapers that are out there that are getting corporate money to stay relevant. And a lot of these newspapers now are doing everything online. They got their own free apps. So
I actually still buy a newspaper.
So do I.
I buy the Daily News.
I steal the paper.
You steal the paper.
That's from work,
okay?
Yeah.
The hot rod is a thief. Yes.
Now, I'm not a thief. I'm a thief.
But at the end of the day, yes. Do I think it's wrong? Of course I do.
Yeah.
Do I think that the fact that one story was more relevant in the news than the other? Of course it's wrong.
Yeah,
but at the end, seriously, it's because one sells more than the other.
Yeah. And,
it's
how many people do you think, and I'll play devil's advocate in this one. How many Irish Americans will think that this is something racist just because it's St. Paddy's Day? All Irish people do is drink and beat up people.
But you know what? There's some truth to it, though.
There probably is. But the point being is that you can always take any side and turn it into a racist talking point.
Yes.
We know that there are a lot of issues with Asian American, Latino American, Hispanic, any race you can pull out. There's something that you
not to cut you off. But not today, but a couple of weeks, we will talk about race and stereotypes. So be ready for that.
Yeah.
And we have a special guest to talk about that.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Because once we talk about race, there's no holds barred.
And I'm not wearing flip-flops.
Uh-oh.
We don't want to see your flip-flops. You know what?
All bets are off on that show.
Oh,
but back to your point, sir. Yeah.
But I think that if you look at it in any news story that has violence or perceived violence in the media, the one thing that you can always look at is saying that you can pull all the stereotypes for each one you want and make a story out. The problem was, like we said before, we all know that the hot button issue always has and always will be race, especially African-American relations when it comes to within their own community, how they interact with anyone else. Anything that's perceived as racist that people don't understand, as the subject we talked about before with the St. Patrick's Day brawl, I saw that on the news, I think it was like 11 or 11:15-ish that night. And they showed the video of it. Somebody actually decided to record it and then put it up on the news and looked at it from that sense. It was like, you know what? That's crazy. I mean, all of the stuff that's going on, they're brawling in the street with a female punching a guy in the face and busting his nose.
She got some balls.
She got some balls right there. She gave him a right cross and broke his nose. And then they tumbled in the street, and people are trying to, oh, stop, you're fighting, stop. No, they're drunk. That leads to the fights because all of the, it seems like, and this isn't the first instance that happened that day.
There were
a couple of videos from other places, other bars, in broad daylight, mind you, like early in the morning, like 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. That made no sense. And I look at it from this standpoint of, if you're going to be one of those people that's going to go out there and say it's racist, this is racist, that is racist, you have to look at the context of that situation and try to figure out what's the most important thing to talk about. How are you going to portray it? And if it is racist, how are you going to alleviate the situation as opposed to just talking down about it the whole time?
Well, we have to talk about it. We have to talk down about it because people love negativity.
Yeah. That the fight at McDonald's was absolutely stupid because it was all gang garbage. And the worst part about it is all of the females.
What happened in Williamsburg?
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No, because it was a bunch of white people. Of course, we're not gonna hear about it, but it was some black people there.
It wasn't a bunch of white people. It was a bunch of I think it was about a handful of black teenagers, and it was the same thing. Jumped.
Yeah.
One person. And her friend went into the local store to get tissues to stop her bleeding.
Mm.
But they continued to beat on her.
Yeah.
Well, and like I said earlier, people cannot fight one-on-one anymore. It always has to be a jump.
Yeah.
Because I think kids today don't know how to fight.
Yeah.
Or they're scared to fight.
Here's the stupid thing about that McDonald's thing. Like you said, it all had a lot of gang affiliation stuff. The victim that got beat up, she passed out in the McDonald's. And they took her to the hospital to see how she was doing. She went back to school. And she was talking a lot of garbage. Like, yeah, you couldn't hurt me. You can't do blah, blah, blah. And she's talking garbage. And she was the victim.
And she
ended up passing out in school and had to go back to the hospital because
she did not learn her lesson.
So it's like, okay, if anything, if she kept her mouth shut, she would be portrayed in the eyes of people that don't know the whole story as a victim.
Okay.
And she came across even worse than the people that jumped her. I mean, the people that beat her up, one of them tried to flee the country.
She went down to Atlanta.
She went to Atlanta to buy a ticket to go, I think, to Jamaica to get out of the country.
Like, yeah, they call her in Atlanta. I'm like, six people did get arrested, but...
And I believe she was the ringleader of the whole thing.
No. The ringleader got arrested first. The one with the purple bra.
Yeah.
And when she got arrested, the cameras show her laughing, smiling like she doesn't care.
Yeah.
And it was very sad because she's 16 years old. She's a mother of a one-year-old baby. And now she's going to jail. She's at Rikers right now. And, like... Apparently, she had a troubled past. She stabbed her brother in the arm. She punched her grandmother. And she had a few arrests.
You know why she's laughing? Because if they charge her as a minor, she'll be out in a month.
No. I think this is real serious.
If they charge her as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they charge her as a minor,
she gets juvie for a little bit.
Exactly.
But a little, okay.
Not even, because she's a mother. So they might actually take pity on her. If she's a single mother, I don't know.
No, she's a single mother, and the daughter's with the grandmother.
Her circumstances, she might get juvie for like a couple months. So of course she's going to laugh.
Yeah.
She beat the crap out of somebody.
Well, you have no...
And what's going to happen to her?
When you have no consequence, when you have no ideal of consequence.
Oh, you'll do whatever you want.
You'll do whatever you think you can get away with.
So, okay, so do you feel any pity for this young...
I feel pity. I feel pity in this sense. The fact that she was even in the situation to begin with. Now, the consequences and everything else that happened, that's a different story. But to be in the situation, the fact that her life got to that point where she was in that situation is sad, but at the same time, there are consequences to your actions. Nobody said that she had to go and start this fight with six other people. Nobody said she had to go to that McDonald's to get the fight going. Nobody said she had to egg on the whole situation after this started back in January. A lot of the stuff that happened, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of moving parts to the situation, but in general, I only feel pity in the sense that this actually happened. I don't feel sorry for her, or I don't feel sorry for the other people that are within the situation. And the sad part about it is, when you look at the whole totality of the instance, it's going to be chalked up as another one of those, it's happened before, it'll happen again.
Happen again, but we try, as a community, we don't want this to happen again.
Exactly.
But no child deserves this type of beating.
No child, nobody, no adult deserves this kind of treatment. And that's part of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that, like I said earlier, it's trying to find the solution for this kind of stuff. You have a lot of kids, inner city kids, that don't have, lightning?
Yeah.
I was about to get struck by lightning, I guess. But
tell the truth.
Yes,
it's all about
the truth. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, the issue is that you don't have a lot, there are a lot of programs in inner city America that don't get funded. So you have a lot of people that need the programs to get a chance, and they don't get the opportunity to clear out certain issues that they
But
have.
The girl, that the gang leader, she's been to anger management classes, she said.
Apparently it didn't work. And
she needs to start some time.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Real time.
The root of that is that there's a connection that's not there, and it's failing the kids. It's failing a lot of adults now as they get older with the same problems growing up, and nothing has gotten resolved.
Well, if they would charge them as adults, there'd be some real consequences to those actions, I guarantee.
Exactly. That's the problem. There's no consequence. There's no thought process of consequence.
So is it safe to say that she came from a broken home?
It's irrelevant.
The thing is, we put a lot of stock in the fact that they probably came from a broken home. And in a lot of instances that I've heard recently, they had good parents, good upbringing, good family life. And something happened to that child at some point where they kind of turned away from what they were used to and just went in a different direction. It's not always from the broken home with the one single parent and the
father. No, she does have a single mother.
Yeah. Now, her situation may be completely
different.
That's
irrelevant.
Yeah, well, so what I'm trying to say is most single mothers from the hood will have a troubled child.
Whether or not you came from a single parent situation is irrelevant. If you are an asshole, it is your business. Has got no regard. It doesn't matter. No. If you're an asshole, that's because of you, your actions.
Mm.
It's got nothing to do. There are plenty of rich kids that grew up with both families, who are both white or black, who turned out to be assholes. Who do you blame?
Well, no. Most problems start from home. You are who you are. Start from home.
And how do you excuse it when they still have both their parents?
True.
Hey, Sean, who he is because of home. You are who you are because of your home. I am the king of kings.
A broken home, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I am a college educated, successful woman.
You are?
But I'm saying, like, that's when people say, they came from a broken home. No, that's irrelevant.
Yeah, but
you
are usually
who you are because of your own actions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of that action does come from home.
I think part of an influence. I don't think it's the total influence. It's a factor.
Yeah.
As you grow up, you learn. You can grow up in a broken home and you can still be successful.
Of course.
You can
become
still,
a football
you
player,
can,
a
you can,
athlete.
I've heard of people that have had the mother was a drunk. The father was never home.
Watch your mouth. I know where you're going with that one.
And there always were issues, but the child ended up going to school, straight A student, college, successful job, making $80,000 a year, that kind of. So in yourself, how you handle that particular issue. It's an individual thing. Now, systematically, have we failed? A lot of people.
We fail a lot of people.
It's just the United States of America has failed a lot of kids.
America
of kids.
Is full of crap.
Dude, I am so sorry. I am so sick of trying to hear an adult. Oh, I did what I did because I came from this. No, you're an adult. You have a head on your shoulders. It's your decision to go left or right.
Okay, so which
it's
one?
It's nobody's fault but your own.
Okay, but who felt us more? Parenting or the school system?
I think the parenting can lead to the school system being messed up. I think.
Well, we all know New York school system is completely screwed up.
Oh, yeah, that's.
New York's school system is what you make of it for yourself.
Yeah. No, yes and no.
No, yeah, no.
No.
It's what you make of it for yourself.
I came from a Catholic school background. I was in the honor roll. Yes, the high route was in the honor roll. I was in the smart class for a little bit, and when I went to the public high school, I was in the top grade, which to me, to this day, I'm still shocked by that.
Yeah,
because I had to work too hard.
I was always in the public school system from day one. I don't know what to buy the school.
Well, your parents did not believe in you. My parents believed in me back then.
Here we
because
go.
It has to do with a little bit of both. It's your parents and your education. It's not one or the other.
Your parents rely on the education, and education rely on your parents.
Yeah.
They rely on each other to raise the proper child.
Yeah. As they say, it takes a village to raise a child. From when I grew up, you know, it was perfectly legal if the child was acting up for a neighbor in the neighborhood to basically discipline your child until you got home.
That's when you get disciplined again.
And that's the discipline when you got home. When mom or dad got home, then you really got disciplined.
And the adult came out.
Exactly. And see, those days are over now because we have BCS getting involved and, oh, you can't touch my child and go take a timeout. A lot of these.
How was the timeout?
Yeah.
Time out where you go to the corner and think about what you did wrong.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah. See, those are the kinds of things that are different in our time as opposed to what had happened when we grew up. You know, it's a completely different way of learning and how to raise and rear a child.
So you're saying that our generation, even though it's not the best generation, we're way better off than this generation right now.
I think we're just as screwed up now because now our generation is starting to get older and they're trying to rely on the next generation to help us out.
No, I do not rely on the next generation. I cannot stand this younger generation. Oh, by the way, our cell phone number is 347-989-8402. If you want to call in. I don't know how to accept calls right now, but the number once again is 347-989-8402. So try to call us. Tell us what you think. If I could figure this computer thing out.
Try to pick it up.
No, not today. I guarantee within a month, this show will be top-notch.
If the world doesn't end between now and then.
Listen.
Between all the frequent snowstorms that we keep getting and the cold air and the warm air and the cold air.
Friday night, I'm cleaning off my car. I'm like cursing. You know, my mouth.
Yeah.
Going off.
Yes.
There's a sanitation company that's perfect for my job. Guy pulls over. You okay? Go away. Person.
Yeah. It happens. We've been going through a lot of snow in New York.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because Friday, after it stopped snowing, my mother and I went out to shovel snow in the front of the house. And I was like, well, you know this is all going to really melt by tomorrow. So we just shoveled the snow out just to make sure that the sidewalk was clear. Went back inside. And lo and behold, you know, next morning it shows up, and almost all of that snow that we shoveled is pretty much gone. So it's one of those things that happens when we get, you know, Mother Nature decides to have a sense of humor.
Okay. So, talk about Mother Nature.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this show that I don't care about, but it's getting a lot of public notice. The show called Empire.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Some reason Empire has blown up since January.
Yeah.
In case you don't know what Empire is, it's a show on Fox about music industry and backstabbing and sleeping around and whatever else the show is about.
Sex and violence.
The gist from what I saw when they did the making of. So that's about all I know of the show.
You know more than us then.
Supposedly is about a record mogul whose either wife or ex-girlfriend was jailed or something. She spends time in jail while he gets his record company going. And the record company makes all this money. She gets out of jail, and now she's looking to get her share of the record label. And that's where all this drama comes from.
All right, so about drama, there's been a lot of negative response to the show as a form of ghetto entertainment.
You mean G-H-E-T-T-O?
Yes, ghetto. Because it's a black exploitation of the black race or the African American race. How do you feel about that, Sean Black?
Well, as somebody that does look at a lot of TV over the years, the one thing that I can say about entertainment as a media is that it's exploitative no matter what it is. Reality TV isn't reality TV. We know that.
Reality TV today is really nothing but BS.
Reality TV has always been, it's scripted with the way that they do jump cuts, where they'll take a shot out of context. It's called a jump cut. They'll take a shot out of context, and then they'll put it, tape it somewhere else. So let's say somebody is saying something, you get a reaction from somebody else that's completely innocuous to what they're talking about. Put it into that particular frame and make it look like it has pertinence to that conversation to make it look like, oh, no, you didn't. And then they go to commercial. But then they come back from the commercial, and then that shot has nothing to do with what they're talking about.
So people who sign up for it know that this is going to happen.
Exactly.
Well, because they make it, once again, they're making money from
it.
Just like using the N-word in a song, you're going to make money from it. Why not? But people have criticized the show because, you know, it's showing a bad side of black culture.
Yeah.
Like, this is not who we are on TV, because just because so-and-so is a rapper or a B singer, it doesn't mean we go around killing people, sleeping around.
Yeah.
Of course it's not who you are.
Yeah.
It's TV.
Yeah. This
no, but
back.
It's marketing.
God, that's so ridiculous. This is the dumbest controversy I've ever... It's stupid. This is television.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not who you are. It's entertainment. It's stupid entertainment.
But
it's
people follow that type of entertainment.
This touches on the old... I'll probably take it back, way back.
Way back.
Way, way back.
Okay, go ahead. Do your throwback.
This touches on the old minstrel shows that used to be popular in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where the only way that African Americans in society could do anything was in blackface, where they had a lot of the cult coonery and buffoonery and shucking and jiving and all that kind of stuff. When there were a lot of artists, singers, actors, actresses that were very good at their craft, but the only way that they could get on TV is, oh, you're going to be a maid. Oh, you're going to be a janitor. Oh, you're going to shuck and jive on TV and act like a fool in a bandolier's outfit in blackface. Those kinds of things are what touches off when people talk about stereotypes of African Americans in entertainment. So when you look at a show like Empire, which kind of touches on the quote stereotype of what black people are known for,
or the hip hop industry overall,
hip hop, cheating, having 15 children by 18 other women. Those kinds of stereotypes are always
stereotypes.
Straight. It's a stereotype, but the problem is that
people need
Hollywood, in a lot of instances, they lean heavily on that to sell a product, and it does tick off a lot of people. Now, is that what all Hollywood does all the time? Of course not.
No, but they go by that alone, like, okay, all black people are a bunch of evil bastards. They are.
Yeah. The problem is when there is a real controversy that goes on where you need to say something, nobody opens their mouths about it. As far as Empire goes, as far as I'm concerned, the show is nothing more than a soap opera based in the setting of a record label outfit. Saying it's very similar to another show that comes on Starz, which is on cable, which is called Power, which is a very similar story.
But people that not talk about Power was not successful, I think.
No, it's successful. The thing is, it's on cable.
It's on cable.
As opposed to network television.
On Fox.
Different. Exactly.
So because on Fox, a lot of people watch it. Like, you have white people, Spanish people, black people, all types of people watching it. So once again, you have this people like, oh my gosh, all the negative about black people or the hip-hop industry is marketing the way we are in real life.
And the fear that most people that are complaining about the show is that this is further this is a further look at what the stereotypes are with black people. and it reinforces that same negative stereotype over and over.
So you
there
have
a lot
so
of
Al Sharpton should not be watching the show right now.
I don't think Al Sharpton should be watching much of anything.
Yeah, but what happens when a lot of these situations are actually real life?
Well,
yeah.
There's some real life to
that
it.
That mean
and, yeah.
that it's true, but there are plenty of men, black or white, who have many children with many different women. That's true. Fact.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to go out and do it yourself.
Yeah.
But,
that's why
okay.
this actual controversy is ridiculous. It's not a controversy.
No, it's controversy because people go by the market. Because I see Sean did it on TV, I should go do it too.
Yeah.
Same way and promote fashion.
That's
a lot of people.
Stupidity.
A lot of people dress up like Cookie or whatever the lady is. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know the name.
That
I don't watch the show too much.
Stupidity.
They're like Mad Men. Mad Men is a hot show on AMC. A lot of people like to dress like them. Because once again, it's all about the marketing. People do things to market. If it sells, if you make money from it, why not?
Exactly.
But that's their problem. I mean, the realization is that the show, I personally haven't watched it. I caught one episode. I got bored. It was great. It's really not my cup of tea. But, I mean, it does hit on situations that are real.
Yes.
I mean, you can't get insulted because it does happen.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously, it doesn't pertain to everybody.
True, but how about a lot of it is going to be exaggerated Hollywood style. Exactly.
True, but.
It's television, but
they're comparing this show to. They want more positive show like The Cosby.
Then make a positive show.
But, like I told Sean earlier, you cannot make a positive show no more because nobody don't care about positive show. Nobody don't care about a doctor
and
a lawyer.
Could you imagine if Bill Cosby did a show today? And it was about the uplifting family, and then it was like, well, the show is okay, and it gets canceled after like 3 hours.
Bingo, nobody don't care about a positive family.
I don't think that they don't care. I think that it has to be marketed the right way. The last really good African-American comedy show that was on network TV that I really watched was My Wife and Kids. With Damon Wayans.
Yes, yeah,
that show was really funny, and it was as close to... based on the material that you can get.
But they did discuss about real life topics.
Exactly.
But, you know, they make a joke out of it.
Yeah. Exactly. You bring light to certain situations, but you also don't want to disrespect the source material.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did with that show.
At the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
you want to talk about it being inappropriate, being racist, don't watch it. Because if you don't watch it, you don't have the demographic.
Exactly.
But people love that type of stuff.
Then don't complain. If you're watching it and it's entertaining you, exactly. If you are watching it and it's entertaining you, I'm sorry, you don't have the right to complain.
Well, okay, one thing I don't care about the show, the only thing I have beef with is there's shows in the past like Dallas, Falcon Crest, and other shows that, similar soap opera era, were white people.
Yeah.
No one did not say anything about that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, remember that show, My Name is Earl?
Yeah.
It's a show about rednecks.
Yeah,
it's like saying all rednecks act this way. Well, no one did not say anything.
Yeah.
Like
it's entertainment.
It's entertainment, but like I said earlier, what sells people focus on.
Exactly.
So black people acting like fools, everybody want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But the same people will watch it, which is why it's still in the air.
Yeah. And they're going to do a second season. And the funny thing about it is they said that Oprah Winfrey is actually going to be in an episode.
For Oprah to be in it,
yes.
Is there some positive side and some negative
this
side?
This is why I say it's a bullshit controversy.
Hey, watch your language. This is a family show.
Oh,
But, yeah, it's one of those topics that is always going to be a hot-button issue. And it has to depend on how it's depicted, how it's done, and then what anybody else does is going forward. Instead of complaining about it, what are you going to do about the situation?
Don't watch it.
You know? It's just like when everybody complained about Jerry Springer. Oh, my God, this is crazy. You got sisters sleeping with their brothers and all kinds of dumb topics.
But it was
sales. But this show's been on for 23 years.
Because
stop
people watch it.
Exactly.
People watch it.
I don't watch the show. I don't complain about it. It's like, look, there is a market for anything. If you want to have a duck with a cape, they want to swim around in the sink, trying to save little roaches, and you make a show about it. If there's an audience for it, they will watch.
Same like Maury. How many baby daddies, you are the father, you are not the father.
Yes.
How many times can you watch that?
Exactly.
But is that what people watch?
Entertaining.
Is that entertaining?
Entertaining.
You got to keep going.
And a lot of that show is also, just like as we talked about with reality shows, some of that stuff is fake also.
But
on some level.
To some level, but people still love
and
that.
Like still
you can't blame the show. You
exactly.
got to blame the people.
Yeah.
Stop watching the damn show.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the demographic. You're in television, you know, if it doesn't have the demographic, they don't, right? They don't.
True, they don't watch, but still.
Exactly.
People just like to talk about it overall, but once again, this show, like I told Sean earlier, this show will not get any negative about it. It was not popular. But this is a very popular show right now.
Yeah.
People evolve.
But I
a lot.
You, the people that mentioned.
Of course.
You know, I don't watch this show. We don't watch the show.
I
don't
care.
But
I couldn't
care less. I just find it funny that all the response about this show, like, this is not the first time you see a show like this.
Exactly.
Overall, whether it's black or white or Chinese or whatever. But once again, this country, we always, everything has to relate to a race.
Yes.
You know, like, there's a show on one of the networks about Asian Americans.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't want
to promote the show right now, but they have to use a race card. With talk about Asian jokes. There's black jokes. There's white jokes. I'm like, this country's so full of it.
Yeah, I think the show you're talking about off the boat.
Off the boat.
Something
like that.
Yeah.
Because guys, two things sell in this country: sex and race.
Exactly.
It's a fact.
And that's what's running a lot
it is
of
what
television.
It is. If you want to change it, don't watch it. If you're going to watch it, then shut the up.
But overall, people love drama. People love controversy.
Yeah.
And that's why you're listening to The Absolute Truth right now with The Hot Rod, Sean Black, and Anitra B. Know your role and just listen. Once I figure out the calling, you'll be able to call and tell your opinion.
Maybe they can call and like leave a message and then we can... reply to them or
something like that.
But I think that they're actually able to ring in.
Yeah, I just don't know how to figure this thing out yet.
We'll figure it out.
If I stop drinking for once, maybe I'd be able to figure out the board.
Okay.
All right, onto the final segment that I'd love to talk about, called Pet Peeves of the Week.
Oh,
let's start with the lady.
No, go
ahead. Oh wow, Sean B. What is your pet peeve of the week?
My pet peeve of the week, and this has been my pet peeve for the last 15 years.
Oh, damn.
I
wow.
am sick and tired of seeing grown men walking around with their underwear showing. I do not need to see your BVDs. I don't need to see your skid marks. I don't need to see what brand of underwear you think is proud to wear. I do not care.
How do they walk like that? Like, seriously, like, how is that even, like,
I
how betrayed as a woman? How do you walk like that?
I have no idea. I was on a bus a couple years ago. I was coming home. There was a guy that was waiting for the bus, pants down, of course, below his crotch. He realized the bus was coming, decided to run, pants fell down around his knees, he tripped and fell in the street. Funniest thing, everybody on the bus, including the bus driver, could not stop laughing. I do not need to see your underoos. Keep them covered. That is, first of all,
where did that start it from?
It is what people don't realize. Maybe they do and they don't remember. This jails back. This goes back to jail.
Back to jail, yeah.
And it was a jail culture where people had their pants down. And the reason why the pants were down was to let other inmates know who was available for extracurricular activities. And who wasn't.
Party done.
Can I bend you over? Are you over?
There
are you
go.
Over?
Well, no. Back then, it's called sagging or something like that.
Yes, sagging. Yes.
Really?
It's called sagging. And it was saying that if Sean and I have our pants down, that you are available for the next step.
Yes. And this, for whatever reason, that became part of culture, and now you see it more and more prevalent everywhere you go. Like it's
huge
when
we were kids. But then again, it was baggy pants.
It was baggy pants. Things. At first, it was baggy pants, and then it was baggy pants with one leg rolled up.
I hate that.
And then they got just people, you know, remember with Chris Cross?
Yeah, Chris Cross.
And inside out. And then you had damaged pants and cross colors and everything. Now people are walking around with their underwear showing. I don't need to smell what you had for dinner. I don't need to see what you're wearing. I don't care to know what your favorite underwear color is. Keep your pants up, please. I have a friend of mine, when he's in his car, like he has his 18-year-old daughter, who's my goddaughter. We drive around. If he sees somebody, he rolls his window down and says, put your pants up! And he rolls the window right there.
That's something you
and
do.
Keeps on going.
Okay.
So.
Wow, you sound angry about that.
You do not understand.
It obviously upsets him.
It is a very disgusting, annoying thing.
But it's part of the young generation.
It's part of the stupid generation. And there's nothing anyone can explain to me about that being normal.
Okay.
Okay, I got that off my chest.
Okay,
it's my
turn.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
Are you sure about that right
I'm
now?
Actually quite therapeutic.
Okay, my pet peeve is for women.
Okay.
Okay, what about the women?
If I am in a club or anywhere and I'm dancing with you,
okay.
Where does that say I want to have sex with you?
I hear you.
No.
Like, if you ask me to dance, where? I would really, I want to know. We're dancing, because there's a DJ, there's music, everyone wants to have a good time with dancing.
Yeah.
Where does that say that
because,
I want to have sex with you?
Because apparently dancing is such an intimate thing, especially if you're winding or grinding.
That's the thing. It's one and grind now. There's not,
yeah.
that's
not
thing
even
that's
okay, first of all, if you are in a club and they're playing as many people know, soca and reggae.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You are an Italian white girl that loves soca and reggae.
Yes,
hey,
I do.
It's world music.
I grew up around it.
Oh.
I've known it my entire life. I enjoy
She's
it.
She's ready for the role.
It depends
on your dance move, because something in the moment right now.
My leg is not around you.
No.
I have not jumped on your waist.
And
I am just simply dancing with you.
And you haven't walked with your drawers showing either.
No, I haven't. But I would like to know where that says, where that translates to, I want to bring you home and have
sex.
What's the point of going to the club? To have some type of fantasy going on. To have some type of turn on going on, right? So when you out dancing to the soca and reggae, it's part of whining. So you're teasing a guy right now.
It's
a nice foreplay. It's
not
a
suggestion. It's not me.
I think when you're dancing with somebody, you take it as far as the other person allows.
Exactly. I'm not kissing you.
Exactly.
You're not grabbing my ass or my chest. With dancing.
You have an ass?
I mean, you're gonna touch. If you depending on what kind of dancing, you're gonna have some kind of physical touch interaction.
Exactly. When we dance.
Yeah. It's not like you're not putting your hand in the person's pants.
Does
or anything.
That translate to no?
Yeah. It's just like the other things that happen when you see women just walk out. If they're wearing something, even if it's a hint provocative, what does that say that you should be attacked by 15 guys, you know, with the cat calls and the wolf whistles and all that stuff.
No. When a woman dresses a certain way, you can't get mad how men react to you. I personally agree with that. There are situations where I dress a certain way because of certain instances. But seriously, when I'm in dance club and I'm dancing and we're having fun, honey, this is me, I want to be home.
Exactly.
Yeah, but once again, it's all about fantasy.
Fantasy, my ass. You're in a club.
I think that's the fantasy.
Bingo, it's a club.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you done? Did you finally let that out?
Yes.
See?
Okay.
Therapeutic, wasn't it? Okay. Mr. Hot Rod.
Oh.
What's your pet peeve?
My pet peeve of the week. I am not criticizing anyone's religion points right now.
Yes.
But, excuse me, let me take a sip of this cranberry juice.
Oh, here we go.
This ought to be interesting.
Yes. Just in case, there's this pastor Creflo Dollar?
It's Creflo Dollar.
Creflo Dollar, thank you.
Creflo, yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm not good with names. He was on, he asked for $60 million.
What?
For a private jet.
For what?
To fly around and go ask more people for money. Once again, I'm not criticizing no one religion. But to ask churches like that.
Why couldn't he book a ticket?
No, no, no. He's a, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
He's a, one of those cults, we like to call it.
Yeah.
$60 million for a jet to fly around. Why?
Yeah. He was asking his congregation.
Yes.
To donate money to him. Because the plane that he had his own private jet. Apparently, either one of the engines failed or he had some sort of malfunction. So he couldn't fly in the normal opulence that he's used to. So he decided to go to the congregation and say, look,
Jesus,
give me some money.
Jesus told me
to fly. Just give me some of your money.
Fly like the eagle.
And the Lord will save you.
No offense to anybody that's religious. Did this idiot give him the money?
Do not be surprised if he got something.
Well,
they all have their own following.
Yeah.
Which, you know what, once again,
shortly after the story went online, he was excoriated. People were dumping on him left and right.
But why is that? Why? He has his Rolls Royce. He has his million-dollar home already. So what's the difference between that and a $60 million jet? Not $6,000. Not even $6 million. $60 million.
All right, here's my question. I am not a religious person at all.
Yeah, you worship the devil. Go ahead.
Shut up. When you give donations, are they supposedly to go through to, like, charities, like,
no,
poor?
No, pastors do get paid for their church.
That part
I do know.
But a decent salary, not for a jet.
And that's the reason why I have a lot of the ideals about certain religions myself.
If, well, we will talk about another day, but if people will give money, you're right. Give it to the charity, give it to the church, the pastor or the reverend do get...
Remember the building fund?
Oh,
we need to put money into the building
fund.
Then.
Aren't the charities, because a lot of churches do either a shelter or like the food services.
I believe it's tax deductible.
It is tax deductible.
And that because of the tithing, you can't tax, and neither are any of the other
money. Yeah, but aren't most of the donations, because a lot of churches either provide shelter or food.
Yes, but I very doubt places like that, like cults like that, give back to the community.
Yeah.
But once again, money is a rule of all evil.
Yeah.
Whether you're Catholic, Pentecostal, why you asking $60 million from the public? I need $6,000 to pay my bills.
I want the Louis Vuitton. They can hand me
I just don't get it at all. But people would give it, like, if he needs money for the jet, we should give it to him.
And the excuse is just because the Lord said so. And, like,
you know what?
Really believe that nonsense.
Fine. You know what? Everybody had their own belief.
No, not the belief. That's not the issue. The issue is his reasoning for why he should have the money from his.
Did they say his reasoning? Like, did they ask him? Or did they
He said that he wants to be able to go around and fly to touch more people to help them out with the word.
So why can't he book a ticket on Delta?
Well, why should that? If Jesus said, I need to have my own private jet to spread the word around.
You know, as much money as he makes, he can buy himself a Cessna plane himself.
Of course.
He needs the jet to spread the word of the Lord.
Of course, just to gain more money.
And to gain more followers for the church.
If you have more followers, you have more money. In the end.
People not realize that he's retarded.
You know what? Are you mad? If he could get away with it, are you mad at that?
No, I don't.
You're not mad at him. You're
mad
at the followers.
Well, as the expression goes, there's a sucker born every minute.
Exactly.
If
I'm not mad at his game.
That, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he obviously has a gift of gab. So that's great.
He's a good BS artist.
Exactly.
And we could give him credit for that.
I would like some of that gift. He could come here and teach me.
You know what? Pastor Crayflo, Dalla, please pass that wisdom on to us.
I would love that.
Sean Black, if someone could buy you whatever, you want that knowledge, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay, then.
I'd love the knowledge, but, I mean, my goodness.
Okay, wow. We cover a lot today.
Yes, we did.
You know what?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much from the bottom of our heart. We did a lot today.
Yes.
And guess what? This is only the beginning. I promise you, I will learn the board so you can call it.
We will so get better at this.
Yes, we will.
That we promise. We're going to learn, I guess we'll figure out how to accept callers.
Yeah, you're drunk already.
Yeah.
I am not drunk.
How many drinks you had?
I'm drinking cranberry juice.
Okay, maybe.
Oh, so you're both drinking the same thing.
And
yes.
Eating my popcorn.
And eating popcorn while we're live on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any final thoughts on each of you?
I guess not.
Okay. Final thoughts, Sean Black.
Oh, goodness. Final thoughts. Try to be good to each other without killing anyone.
Exactly.
How about that?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, good luck at that.
Jerry Springer. Be good
keep
to each
simple.
Other. Yeah,
keep it simple. Well, my final thoughts, thank you so much. Please, I will form up a Twitter account, email account to answer all your questions.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. I have a caller right now?
We do?
Yes, you do.
Hold on. Let me see.
Can we do this?
Can I do this? Can I
can I talk to you?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the air. This is the Hot Rod, Sean Black, and Anitra B.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on? This is Milton.
Oh, of course, it's Milton. What's up, Milton? How can we help you?
So did we do okay? Do you approve?
Yeah, I have a good show going on, you know.
Thank you so much, but don't worry, we're going to have you on our panel in a couple of weeks.
I know, because, you know, I'm extra militant, so I have to be on there to,
Yes. So, Milton,
what
is your intake about the McDonald's brawl?
Well, first of all, the ringleader, she has a lot of mental problems. A lot of mental problems. It was documented. She had issues with her grandmother. She was arrested a lot. She should have been institutionalized on a mental health type of deal. And that leads into, especially in inner cities, not enough attention being paid to a lot of people who have mental issues like that. You know, a lot of gaming was got mental issues, a lot of, you know, abuse going on, but no one really cares because they're in the hood like that. That's number one. Number two, for people, you know, not giving a damn to jump in, that's a societal issue. That's always been like that. Listen.
Well, so once again, you agree that's part of the hood thing, right?
That's the hood thing, but also in regular society as well, you see a lot of fights, no one's going to jump in like that. I've seen, especially on ABC News Nightline, where people be fighting and whatever have you, and no one really jumps in. So it's a whole America, cross-section of America right there, just not at the hood. You know what I mean? But it's a sad situation, but also too.
I'm sorry, explain yourself about that.
What? There are people, I think saw a year or two ago, where they said that if they did the studies where if you're the only person there and like a big confrontation, you might do something, but if it's like a whole bunch of other people, you might just watch and wait to see someone else do something. So it's sort of like a standing old type of like, you know, you wait for somebody else to do the first thing, make the first move, whatever happens.
Yeah.
You
usually see a lot of that on YouTube where they have a lot of YouTube videos, and that's nothing but fight videos just for that same reason.
Right. Now, as far as videotaping things go, of course, everybody's got a camera phone now. I don't judge it too much because let's be honest, back in the days, in my days, going to Paul Robeson in high school, if we had them camera phones, oh, Lord, have mercy. It would have been ugly. It would have been ugly.
Yeah.
Listen, dude used to put girls in garbage cans back in the day. I saw that. That would have been
ugly. There were no camera phones to record everything.
Exactly. That's my point. The savagery is still, you know, it's traditional. It's being brought down. So that's nothing new right there. None of this is new. You know what I'm saying? It all revolves under the sun. It's just a remix. You know what I'm saying? It's a rerun. It's like a dude said in Baby Boy. It's a rerun to me.
I have a question.
So, yes, ma'am.
Do you think this would happen if people didn't have the technology to record on their phone?
Stuff like this still would go on, but it may not be. It may. I say this. The technology helps it out to a certain percentage, but I understand. Damn, people want to pause or, you know, sort of project themselves out there. Yeah, I'm the man. Look at me doing this, da-da-da-da. I understand that. But let's be honest. This was going on back in my day. We didn't have that type of stuff.
Oh,
you know,
like
I said, about to realize, also, it's more, like I said before, the ringleader, she was all messed up in the head. She needed help. She didn't even got to that point. Because she needed to be in an institution before that. So,
yeah.
Let's say you want to add another 15-20% on an incident, fine. But these incidents will still go on, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. And like you just said, it's an institutional kind of thought process where you don't have as many people looking at the situation with mentally ill people, anybody that has those kinds of situations where they need to get
right.
help.
And
you look at it as a joke almost.
Right. Also, too, who actually cared for mentally disturbed people in a club like that? Nobody. You know what I'm saying? They don't get that. Listen, they don't get proper education in the hood. So what do you think would be on proper mental health care for?
Well, true, but once again, in the hood, you don't snitch about anything. You don't know anything, you don't speak anything, you just keep quiet about it.
Of course, because, you know, as the saying goes, snitches get stitches or whatever. But it's a lot. The thing is, in the hood, it gets messed up because it's all poverty on many levels. You know what I'm saying? Economic poverty, morality poverty, things of that nature. That's where this all stems from. You know, so it's a whole... The actions of the hood is just a whole bigger issue. You can make a mini series about that. Because
okay.
All this is set up. It's all set up. Because basically,
set up in what way?
In that when you don't have the money, when you don't have economic background. But the problem is people in the hood are like that because they don't have the economics together. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's all stems from. When you don't have economics together, you don't care about yourself, you don't respect yourself.
So you're trying to say that the poor people don't care about themselves?
Well, they don't.
Well, the people that are struggling don't care?
They care, but the reason why they struggle is because they don't have any money right. They can say they care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't, but they're saying it and doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because we could go all sit here and talk all day long. I do it myself. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But it's talking and it's doing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because, like, you talk about the Crepe Folk Dollar thing, right? Listen.
Hi.
No,
hold on for 1 minute. I have another caller right now.
All right.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Caller, you live on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm live.
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay, cool. How are you?
All right.
We're fine.
So,
we're trying to figure out everything so far.
So what's your input?
In talking about mental illness, I think the caller that you're talking to right now is kind of mentally ill.
Okay.
All right,
in
let me stop playing. This is Damon, man. What's up? What's going on? What's going on?
Nothing about James. I'm sorry. We're trying to figure this thing out, you know, Damien.
What's going on, man?
So what's going on? How are we doing so far?
Doing good. I'm loving the show. Loving the topic.
Are we entertaining you?
It's relevant. It's flowing nicely. I think it's good. I think y'all got something here.
All right. Thank you.
See, I haven't cursed much. I'm very proud of myself, by the way.
Sure, cursed like four times so far, sir.
Yeah, I was about to say I count on like 3 or 4, so that's not so bad.
Okay, so what's your input about the Madonna situation?
Man, first of all, I think it's sad. Second of all, I agree with the point that Anitra B was making. A single parent or quote unquote broken home can't be the excuse for, you know, everything that happens bad with our youth. It might be a factor, but again, like she said, many, you know, we have decisions to make. When I was that age, I had decisions to make. As long as, all of you guys, so it's husband, like.
Obviously, his kids are freaking adorable,
yeah.
And they're well behaved.
Yeah. And we have Milton on the line too.
Yeah. What up, Milt? What's going on, baby? What's going on, brother? How the family
Milton,
doing?
Milt.
Nah,
Milton will be on the show in a couple of weeks.
Okay, let me know the date, and I will not tune in.
Thank you for tuning in and giving us feedback.
No, I'm joking. No, the show is great. I just happened to stumble upon it on Facebook, and I was like, what? And then right as soon as it started, I just was like, yo, let me hop on real quick. So
yeah, it's like an experiment that we're trying right now. We don't know everything yet, but we're trying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's
a new adventure for us.
Yes.
I mean,
is this
going to
be the normal time and day?
We will try to be at 4 o'clock every Sunday.
4 o'clock every Sunday.
Yeah.
There's an issue. We'll post it.
Not next Sunday, right? Because that's a religious holiday.
Oh, yeah. It's Palm Sunday, and we did talk about
that.
No.
Not Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
Not Palm Sunday.
No?
WrestleMania, baby.
No. We're going to do the show, then we're going to run out of here, then we come down to WrestleMania.
No, absolutely not. I will not be tuning in. I'll be at peace.
But Milton, are you ready to talk about the N-word in a couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Yeah, because it's a whole thing going on here, you know. But being the N-word, quote-unquote, that's marketable, man. Listen, that's why, you know.
Look at the TV shows here.
All that love and hip-hop garbage, the scandal garbage, the Empire garbage, all that is N-wordness, basically.
But they never mention the N-word.
No, but they act like it.
You know what it is?
Like, that's the point.
It's not the mention of the N-word, it's the implied meaning of the N-word. And that's the
exactly.
Or
as I call it, coon foolishness, if you want to say it like that.
There we go.
Well, boy. Well, guys, we have like 2 minutes left. There any final thoughts from you, Damien?
Just keep doing a great job. Look forward to hearing more about it. And, as a people, let's stop talking about it. Let's just start being about it. That's all.
Thank you. See, I agree with that.
Milton, any final thoughts?
First of all, I'd like to congratulate y'all on the show. It's a good thing. Like my man Damien said, we all talk, but when we start doing things, and also we need to handle our economics, first, second, and third.
Yeah.
If we don't get our money right,
thank you so much, guys.
Everything
thank
else
you.
Will be wrong.
Thank you.
I agree with that.
All right.
Thank you. All right, till next
right.
time.
Take care, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
So now we're going to Applebee's and drink, right?
Of course. We're drinking right now, as a matter of fact.
Of course.
All right, guys. I'm going to hang up now.
Congrats, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Wow. I appreciate our first 2 callers from our good friends.
I think that was fabulous.
Fabulous. We did a great show. I'm proud of us.
And
we will continue.
Better.
It will get better.
And we learned how to work the board the first time we got a shot to do it.
Yeah.
How about that?
You know. All right, Sean. Thank you. Sean Black, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anitra, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, tune in next time, next week.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, 4 o'clock. where we would discuss more hot topics and more what's going on in our lifestyle.
And more about the absolute truth.
And the truth. If you can handle the truth. And as always, we tell like it is. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all yours. Good night. Take care. God willing.
Good night.